I'll turn things over to Molly. And let's see. And we're recording. Go ahead, Molly, take it away.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Database and Methods, a cyber seminar series hosted by VIREC, the VA Information Resource Center. Thank you to CIDR for providing technical and promotional support. Database and Methods is one of VIREC's core cyber seminar series. It focuses on helping VA researchers access and use VA databases. This slide shows the series schedule for the next presentation. Sessions are typically held on the first Monday of every month at 1 p.m. Eastern. More information about this series and other VIREC cyber seminars is available on VIREC's website, and you can view past sessions on HSR VIREC's cyber seminar archive page. A quick reminder to those of you just logging on, slides are available to download. This is a screenshot of the sample email you should have received a few hours ago, and in it you will find a link to download the slides. Today's session is titled Research Applications for JLV, Joint Longitudinal Viewer, and will be presented by Dr. Reese Omizo. But before I introduce our speaker today, I'd like to ask a few poll questions to get to know our audience members better. So the first two polls are going to come up simultaneously. They will open in the polling pane on your screen. If you do not see that polling pane in front of you, please go to the lower right-hand corner of your screen, click on the ellipses, and select the polling option. Select your two answers. You may need to scroll down with the scroll bar to find the second question. And please, after you've submitted your responses, do not forget to press the word submit. The questions are, what is your primary role in projects using VA data? The answer options are investigator, co-IPI, statistician, methodologist, biostatistician, data manager, analyst, or programmer, project coordinator, or other. And if you select other, please open up the chat function and describe your job position there. The second poll question, which again, you may need to scroll down in order to see, how many years experience working with VA data do you have? Answer options are none, I'm brand new to this. 1 year or less, more than one, less than 3 years, at least three, less than 7 years, at least seven, less than 10 years, or 10 years or more. And I'm gonna turn things over to Maria, who will read those answers for us.
And I see that the polls have slowed down, so I'm gonna go ahead and give everybody maybe 5 more seconds, and then I'm gonna go ahead and close that poll. So just don't forget to click submit. Okay, I'm closing that poll and I'm going to share those results. And what I see right now is 9% say A, investigator, PI, and co-investigator. 4% say statistician, methodologist, biostatistician. 11% say C, data manager, analyst, or programmer. 23% stated that they're a project coordinator. 9% say other, and let me see if I see any other, I don't see anybody putting anything in the chat. Did anybody put anything in the Q&A? I don't see anything there at the moment. And then what I see for number two is 5% say none, 5% say 1 year or less, 16% stated that they were more than one, less than three, 9%, at least three, less than seven. And we have 3% that said at least seven, less than 10 years. And we have 12% that have been here for 10 years or more. Okay, back to you, Molly.
Thank you so much to our audience members who answered that. We really appreciate it. And we do have one last poll question before we get started. How long have you been using JLV? Answer options are none, I'm brand new to this, 1 year or less, more than one, less than 3 years, at least three, less than 7 years, at least seven, less than 10 years, 10 years or more. And again, go ahead and select your option and please do not forget to press submit so that it is recorded. And it looks like answer options are streaming in, so we'll give people just a bit more time to get going. And Maria, I'll turn it over to you to read those responses.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and close that poll. And what I'm, and let me go ahead and share those results. And what I'm seeing is 30% say A, none, that they're brand new to this. 11% say 1 year or less. 8% more than one less than 3 years. 7% stated at least three less than seven. 3% actually said at least seven less than 10 years. And 1% said 10 years or more. Back to you, Molly.
Thank you so much. Well, I can tell you that those 30% that are brand new to this are in the right session. So that's wonderful. Thank you. As I mentioned, today we have presenting for us Dr. Reese Omizo. He has been a physician for the VA Pacific Island Healthcare System for 28 years. He has served as a physician informaticist in the Clinical Informatics and Data Management Office on the JLV leadership team, providing development, testing, and training support, as well as subject matter expertise in VA, DOD, interoperability, and informatics in primary care. So he's going to be presenting on applications for joint longitudinal viewer in research, and this will be an introduction session, and I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Dr. Omizo now.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, everyone. This is Reese Omizo from Hawaii here. I'm looking out the window. It's another beautiful day, and no, I don't get sick of it. But yeah, I'm a primary care provider by training. Haven't been doing a whole lot of that. I've actually been in informatics for quite a number of decades now. And I wanted to introduce you to the Joint Longitudinal Viewer if you are not familiar with it. And I got to say up front that this presentation is put together very well by Amber Lane, my partner, who's a research health system specialist, and she's out of the VA Eastern Colorado Healthcare System. So she couldn't be here today. So I am going to present in her stead, and I'll be doing a demo. So I will go ahead and advance the slides here. I'll try to get through them pretty quick. I see that a good proportion of people are not familiar with JLV, so this is going to be for you. If you are familiar with JLV, a lot of this is going to be review, and you may want to go do your email or whatever and come back and join us for the next session where I'll do some pretty cool stuff. All right, let's see. I'll move forward here. Okay, so we're going to cover the sources of data that are available to JLV. And then we're going to talk about, you know, what you can do in research and quality improvement stuff. And we'll try to get the talk about the data itself and about what JLV can and cannot do. Okay, so we're going to have some other sessions. I'm going to just whip through these slides real quick because we actually did these. All right, so here's our overview, our session roadmap, excuse me. So I'll give you a brief overview of what JLV is, how to access it, especially if you're in the research realm, and then a little bit about how to use it, or at least how I use it. And then I'll get into a live demo. So I want to get to the live demo sooner rather than later, because I'd like for you guys to be able to ask a bunch of questions. And, you know, I'll hopefully get you primed for the next session, which I think is going to be really important and will hopefully save you a lot of time. Okay, so overview. So what JLV does, it's a web-based application, and all it does is it just aggregates all the data about a specific patient. Okay, so when you get into JLV, it's patient-centric, so the data will be from all of the sites that the patient's been to within your stated date range throughout the time in both the DOD and the VA systems. So it's important to remember that it is just a viewer. So it's analogous to a television set, and we don't control the streaming or the cable feeds or whatever. We get what we get when we ask for it. And if we don't get anything at the time, you know, please don't blame JLV. It's easy to do. Okay, so this is an acronym list, and you can actually get the presentation so that you can actually see all of these later on and try to make sense of it. But we have some graphics here that might help you a little bit, okay? So when you're in JLV, you will see blue dots, and these are VA data sources. And this is coming from the same data sources that you see in Vista CPRS, Capri, et cetera. We also get images coming from Vista Imaging, so the PAC systems nationwide. We get Muse cardiology studies as well. So that's actually a big plus. On the DOD side, the orange squares are depicting the legacy data sources within the DOD. So, you know, we're talking about CHCS, their inpatient Accentra systems. Now, HAMES is the DoD's equivalent of our Vista Imaging. The Theater Medical Data Store, the TMDS, they're actually combat records. And interestingly, I can actually see combat records from some of the patients I've cared for, which is pretty amazing. And of course, you know, we have different forms that you guys may be interested in, deployment forms. We also have, for researchers, it might be interesting, there's an ILER. So this is the longitudinal exposure record. So you can actually see where a veteran was exactly, longitude, latitude, you know, what theater war they were in. It's actually pretty amazing that we have quite a bit of data from the DoD. Now, the new data coming from the DoD, so their sites have all transitioned over to the Cerner product. And on the DoD side, it's called MHS Genesis. So the VA's version of it's going to be called Millennium for everyone else, but MHS Genesis is the DoD's version. Okay, and those will show up as green triangles. Now they have their own imaging system called the CAM system, so we'll have access to that as well. And finally, you'll see purple hexagons, and these are reports coming from the private sector. So these are the Commonwealth provider sites, and there's like a whole bunch of partners, and the list is growing every day. So this is the Joint Health Information Exchange. And unlike the federal systems, we don't get discrete data. We just get summary forms, or we just get reports that you go through. And hopefully you don't open each one individually. I'll show you how to do a different trick in the future, but you know, there's a lot of stuff that's there. The titles really won't help you a whole lot. So I understand the frustration, and we will definitely teach you how to get that squared away by the next session. All right, so from VA staff, so if you have Vista or Capri access, when you're looking at data, there are some things that the VA can see that the DoD cannot. So, you know, JLV is available for DoD users and VA users. But from the VA perspective, these are the things that only we can see on the VA. So the Muse cardiology, there's some things that are actually in Cerner Millennium. This is the one that's the most important in this green triangle, is that if you are at a VA site that has not yet transitioned to the Cerner product, there really is no way to look at the Cerner data. The only way right now from OIT is via JLV. So this is actually very important. So keep that in mind. The DoD, you know, we have access to things that other folks don't. So as I mentioned, you know, the longitudinal exposure records, there's some deployment forms, there's some things about social history that you can get from some of the DoD records. And then in the private sector, we on the VA side have access to this. This is not yet available in the DoD version of JLV. Okay, anyone have any questions before I move on? I'm looking in the chat and I don't see any here.
No questions at this time. Thank you for checking.
All right, not the chat, but the question, sorry. Okay, so if you have Capri, if you're using CPRS, you know, all of these are looking at data in the Vista systems. And really they're looking at the local Vista system. So I'm gonna go ahead and just kind of go through that. Now, I'll mention this again. When you're looking at data from JLV, you're looking at data about a single patient within the date range that you've stated. So, JLV cannot aggregate data across patient records. So, for instance, I can't say, you know, show me all the patients who have diabetes from the Pacific Islands. It will not do that. So JLV is only going to look at one patient at a time. It's kind of like what happens in CPRS, right? You can look at patient data for one patient. You can't generate reports out of CPRS. So same way, JLV cannot generate lists, but it can give you information about one patient at a time. Okay, so if you want something like that for the research, for your research purposes, you really need to go get something from a corporate data warehouse. So there's some information here. You can click on that hyperlink when you get the presentation. All right, access. So I didn't know this, but as far as research goes, there are some specific restrictions. For if you are a clinical user of JLV, if you have CPRS, you got it. You have JLV access. If you're doing research, you got to do something a little different, and you need to actually request access. And This slide actually has all the information that you'll need, as well as a hyperlink to get access to JLV. Now, this data access request tracker was something I was not familiar with, but for researchers, you actually need to have a separate request for each of your research projects. Okay, so you do have to send it via DART. Okay, and you know, Amber keeps telling me this over and over again, and you know, it doesn't apply to us in the clinical world, but for the researchers, you need to have the HIPAA form, the HIPAA authorization application has to be done, and you have to follow this for your study protocol, talking about what kinds of information you're going to access. And you're really hopefully not going to store it. You know, if you're going to get some data, hopefully a lot of it is just going to be metadata, but you can follow up with all of the requirements in the hyperlinks. Okay, utilization. So the stars on the slide, so there were new-ish updates to JLV, not necessarily brand new, but these are things that I want to talk about just to make sure that you don't miss some of these things that are very important. Okay, when you first log into JLV, it's going to be a little different than the subsequent times you log in. The first time you will have to click your facility and select your facility. Once you've done that, it's just that one time that you have to do it. So you can launch JLV from CPRS. There is also a JLV tab in Capri. And Cerner PowerChart on the left-hand side also has a hyperlink to JLV, but there's some throttling of the speed. There's some latency you get when you're within Cerner. So if you're at a Cerner site, you're using Cerner, you know, you could actually get that exact URL right there that we have in hyperlink, and you can put that in your Chrome or Edge browser, and it'll work. It's actually a lot faster. Okay, so you're gonna log in using your PIF card, and then if not, you can actually use the other sign-in options over here. So right below the PIV card icon, you can do other sign-in options. So you can actually do things using Windows authentication rather than using your PIV card. But PIV card is definitely preferable. So what JLV is doing is it's authenticating you against whatever system you're registered in for your Vista or your Capri. Okay, so the patient search tool, there's a lot of confusion about it. You know, there's so many different ways to get a search done, and I thought it'd be a really good idea to just kind of go through these. I'll just review these very quickly. So the most commonly used way for a lot of folks in the research world is, you know, you'll have the social security number and the last name. So if you use this method, you need to have the entire social security number and the entire last name with correct spelling. Okay, so just remember that this is, this is one option. Okay, you can use the DOD ID number, and I'll kind of go over those, but if you are in CPRS and you open up the patient profile by clicking on the patient's name, you're gonna get the demographic sheet that pops up, right? The patient inquiry sheet. And this is the 10-digit number that's right before the social security number. So if you copied that number and you were just to drop it into JLV here, this is the fastest way and the most accurate way, I think, to find a patient's record. All right, and then if you have neither of those, no social and no DOD ID, then you're in trouble because you got to do a lot of work here. So you will have to put the last name, the first name, the date of birth, as well as the birth sex. So this is definitely not the way you want to do it, but if you have to, you have to, okay? But I would recommend just finding the patient either in Capri or in CPRS and getting that patient profile much easier. Okay, if you have this error message that pops up, you might have too many hits, or you might not have enough information, or you might have entered things incorrectly, so just try it again. It's not often that people get this, but it does happen with common names. Okay, and then after you put that in there and you click on search, you're going to get a list of results below. And you'll notice that the DOD ID number is actually showing up here as well. So if someone's asking you to look something up in JLV and they're already in JLV, they can just give you this DOD ID and you can go ahead and put that in your DOD ID field up here. All right, so this Patient deceased. So there is one. I'll show this during the demo. But the date of death will actually be located there. Give me one sec to clear my voice here. Okay, sorry about that. Okay, so when the application opens, you're gonna get this pop-up here, and this is gonna be the flags window that opens up. It's gonna be there for every patient. It's gonna show you a bunch of information that you may or may not be familiar with. You know, we'll have stuff like COVID test results, the active dual consumer patients. This is gonna be patients that have registrations in both VA and DoD. And the reason allergy shows up here is to remind you that the DoD allergies are separate from the VA. In fact, our VA allergies are separated by different instances of VISTA. So your VISTA box is the one where all your patient data is on, right? And we have over 131 of these across the United States. And the allergies themselves don't pass from list to list. However, if you're prescribing medications within the VA, you'll get an allergy reminder, or you get a warning if you try to prescribe a medication to a patient that's had this allergy at another facility, but it won't show up in your local allergies list. Okay, now the DoD allergies will not do that. You know, it used to be that people thought that it would, but it does not. So if the DoD allergies are present, you need to look at the DoD allergies. Okay, demographics and advanced directives. Okay, so these two buttons here at the very top, we have flags that we just showed you, but this advanced directives is ADs. If the site has encoded the advanced directive types of notes properly, if you click here on this black button, you're gonna actually get those records. Okay, so if you see them here, those are the ones that probably have your advanced directive information that you're looking for. If you don't see it here, it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It could be that it wasn't encoded properly. So you really do need to go to the site's information and try to look for these titles within the progress notes or documents and images widget, which I'll get to in a bit. Okay, if you look at the main tab, you're gonna see all the sites that your patient's been to. Because this is a test patient, you're gonna see almost like a huge number of sites. I think we have 30 or 40 there. But you can take a look at those. Each one will link to some demographic information. And if you scroll down here, you're going to actually see that patient inquiry form that comes out of CPRS VISTA. Okay, so I'm going to just stop here and see if anyone has any questions so far. If you don't, I will just talk briefly about what data elements we can view.
Thank you, Reese. Yeah, we do have a couple questions. Sure. We'll just go ahead and read those.
Yep.
Can the data that feeds the JLV be accessed via SQL queries, like would be done for the CDW? This way, one could extract a patient list from JLV?
It's not from JLV. So the way JLV works is the requests go directly to the databases. So, you know, when you're using CPRS and you click on something like patient body weight, the request goes from CPRS to your VISTA system and displays it. So JLV mimics that same type of request. So if you wanted to do things across patient records, you would actually have to have access to a data warehouse where all of that information is spooled up in one box, and you can actually make requests that way. So JLV will not be able to request things across patient records within your system. It's only going to get you data from a single patient upon request. Does that answer your question?
Thank you for that reply. They are more than welcome to write in if they need further clarification.
All right, cool. Is that all we have?
The next question, we got one more. Is there any way to find patient information by full name and last four digits of social security number?
No, you need to have the full social and the full exact spelling of the last name. But like I said before, if you can find the patient in CPRS, all you have to do is click on the patient profile. We click on the patient's name, and it'll be that 10-digit number that's just before the social security number.
Excellent.
Okay, so I think that's the easiest way to do it. I'll demonstrate that. I'll show you where it's at. Okay.
Perfect. Well, that was a final pending question, so you can continue on.
All right, thank you. Okay, so the widgets are just these boxes you're going to see on the display. And essentially what it is JLV can pull out these encoded pieces of data. So, you know, if you see something on here, the systems will actually report back and give you data in the local system that's on your patient for your, you know, specified date range. And these are the different types of data you can actually pull out. So when you get them, you know, it's really busy. I apologize. There's a reason for it. I will explain when we do the demo. But if you have information that you need about any of the specific widgets and information they contain, you can just click on the widget descriptions link here. And if you have some time, you can kind of browse and figure out what's in which widget. What will happen for most people is you'll find the ones that work for you and you just kind of stick with those. I think that's the easiest way to describe it. Okay, so the source systems, again, are going to define what data is going to be displayed and where it will be displayed. So JLV just asks for standards, you know, give us your standard data that designates a progress note or a progress note title or whatever, and then it'll just display it wherever it is the source system decides it's going to be. Now, when you open your particular widget, you're going to get a report of all the systems reporting back at that particular point in time. So if someone were to enter another note or something like that during the time that you're actually already in the record, you're not going to see that until you actually generate another instance of that widget or until you refresh it. So it's just important to keep track of if you're in a very busy environment like an inpatient service. Now, the data is actually duplicated across multiple widgets, you know, and some are subsets. So for example, if you look at the documents and images widget, that is actually sort of the huge widget. And I use that a lot. That'll include anything that's considered a document from the VA or DOD systems. Plus, it'll actually include links to image information. So it'll be Vista Imaging as well as the Hames imaging system in the DOD. So, you know, if you were only interested in looking at notes, yeah, you could use progress notes. But if you want to catch everything, you know, it's much better to use documents and images and then to use filters to kind of deal with that huge amount of information. I will go over that. Okay. So when you have widgets, you know, there's an expanded view for each of the widgets. So the widgets are going to look like this. And again, I will show you this stuff. But at the bottom right-hand corner of the little individual widgets, there's the expanded view. You always want to open up that expanded view. What it's going to show you is information about the information. So in this case, you know, we're looking at documents. I don't know if you guys could actually see this, but these would be titles. And if you see something underlined like this, it's a hyperlink. If you click on it, it'll actually open up the note itself. Now, what we display in JLV is information about that note. So this is information about the note, information. So it's data about the data. And this is called metadata. And, you know, a lot of folks will say, well, why do you need all of this craziness here? You really need it because you can actually use these to filter. So for instance, here's a provider list. If I wanted to find all the notes from a certain provider, like you do in CPRS where you do display notes by provider, you could actually select a provider either using this drop-down list or you could use the text filter and it would just show you those notes that are coming from that provider. Except instead of just being from your local system, it'll show you every place this person's been that's seen that provider. That, you know, over the last whatever the number of years is that you've designated. So, you know, for us here in Hawaii, if we've had somebody who was over at Tripler, one of the residents who then became an attending and then started to work for us, we could actually find all the notes that that person had. There's some continuity that we can get in that way. There are other things that are really important as well, like if you're looking at a specific clinic name or a clinic type, you know, when you talk about things like primary care, if you have a primary care clinic within the VA system, it might be the titles are calling them primary care or PC or PACT. But on the DOD side, they call their clinics for primary care ambulatory care clinics. So, you know, knowing those things will help you find those in a filter. And again, You know, you can filter by clicking on this cone here, and you'll see all the different titles that are included in this set of data. And I'll be clear about that a little more when we actually get through the demo. All right, so, you know, you can use multiple widgets to kind of cross-reference and give you a timeline. And a good example here would be consults, so and order. So let's say that, you know, I'm placing an order for lung cancer screening, but it hasn't been completed yet. Well, I may not see the document about it, right? I may see just the consult portion of it, but I will actually have a timeline. So then I can actually go ahead and look in documents and images and see if there's something after this that actually contains an image. And that could actually be the report that went out to the community. So the idea here is to be able to use different widgets in conjunction with each other so that you can actually figure out where your information is at that point in time. It can get complicated, but you guys, as researchers, you guys know how to do that stuff without a problem. Every so often, you're going to see these yellow triangles, and these are source system connection errors. If you click on the yellow triangle, you'll get a little status window. So if you are looking for information that's not from those sources that are failing, your successful connections are going to be found below, and you can ignore it. If it is something that you're interested in and it's not available at that point in time, I would suggest just trying again later, refreshing. And usually these system errors get solved within, you know, an hour or two. A lot of them have to do with maybe some routine maintenance that's being done, or sometimes there's problems with the connection itself. But again, you know, JLV just being the viewer, it's like a television. If you got a cable station or a cable company that's down for, you know, a half a day, same difference, right? You're not going to get that information, but at least we're tracking it and we'll let you know what's not connecting properly. Okay, so optimizing JLV, I will talk more about it when you see my tab set, which is kind of crazy. But for you, especially if you're beginning, you know, if you don't have widgets that are necessary for your project, just dump them, you know, just click on the X and they're gone. If you decide you want them, go back to the widget tray and you can just click and drag the widgets up onto the workspace. So it's totally up to you and you really can't break anything. So just, you know, do what you need to for your work. You should expect that you're going to change this at least within the first month or so, a number of different times before you find out what works for you. All right. So what do you do with workspaces? So when you create a new workspace, you click on that plus sign by the tabs. It'll ask you to name that tab. And you can put a description in here if you want. This is purely for you. No one else is going to see it. When you customize your view of JLV, that's just yours. So anywhere you log in to JLV, once you set this up, that's what you'll see. Okay, so you can actually do things like putting the exact same widget on a workspace, but just having different date ranges. Okay, so what's the advantage of that? Well, when you look at things that bring back 1,000 records, that's a little too much to deal with. It'll actually slow your system down and you won't get to the things that you need to as fast as you want to. You know, so in this case, we have a different date range, which includes a smaller data set, and the same here. It actually will help you get through information. The way I use it is, you know, if I want to see what's going on in the last year, I'll have one documents and images widget for a 1 year time span. And then I'll have another one for 10 if I'm looking for something like a colonoscopy. Okay, setting the date ranges. If you can, try not to use the boxes here. Just go and do the single click. You can go beyond 10 years just simply by clicking in the boxes, but it's much faster to go ahead and just click on one of these presets. And you remember, you want to keep the date ranges small so you get documents that are limited to just a few hundred. That's going to be optimal. Okay, now you can set date ranges for multiple widgets. So if I have a bunch of widgets on my one workspace, in this case, this is my radiology workspace, and I have a bunch of widgets here. If I want to change the date range for all of them at the same time, I can click on this show date tool, and this will allow me to apply the same date range to every single widget that's on that page. And you have to remember that once you've made this change to the date ranges, that's going to stick. So when you switch patients, they're going to have the very same date range applied to them for this particular tab once you set this. So use it with caution. All right, now this is super, Super important. You can actually filter your widget using text. So you remember we talked about metadata or data about the data, right? And you can actually use filtering to find strings of text within the metadata so that you can actually get these together. So in this case, if we're looking just for, televisits, telehealth visits of some sort, if we typed in tele, it's going to automatically pull just that subset of notes. So, the imaging complete data set within this time frame might be something like, 50. But because I put the word tele here in the text filter, it's going to filter out everything that has tele in it, and I'll just get five documents. So this is the way you deal with that huge amount of information. Now, I can also lock these filters, and this is very critical because once you've locked the filter, you've already made this widget permanently change to always look for a year's worth of data and always look for metadata with the word tele in it. If you don't lock it, right, you log off of JLV, you come back in, this is going to be gone, but this will stay as well as the date range. So it might seem like a lot to think about now because you're not seeing it in real time. So don't worry about it, and you always have the chance to take a look at this presentation later. Now, filtering columns, you can do this as well, and it's sort of manual. If you have the titles of your images listed here in that whole set of 95, you will see these titles appear just once. So if we had several that were Hames, you're just going to see Hames once. But if you click on the checkbox, it's going to turn on a filter and show you only those images that have Hames here in the title. So there's a lot of things that help you deal with the huge amount of information that comes in. If you're doing research, right, and you're looking for CPT codes, you can actually put in the exact CPT code in your text filter, and that's all that you'll get right here. You can also click on the black filter cone, and then you'll see the listing of all the CPT codes that's in this particular data set. And sort of the same here. This is another example of it, the VA Health factors. All right, so images. So let's say that you know that a patient was sent out for something like a consult or a study, and so you know that this is going to come back as a scanned document. You can actually filter within the image slash attachment column. And if you click on the black filter cone and you click on image, it's just going to show you those titles that actually have images associated with them. So this is a good way to kind of get rid of the huge list and get onto one that's a little more to your liking. Okay, troubleshooting JLV. You can use the help icon. It's going to take you a while to get through a lot of this. I would recommend just going through the training a few times. It's a lot easier to get through, but the information is there if you need it. Okay, and then these resources are available to you. I would recommend doing the short training video training before playing around with JLV. It just makes it a little easier. And there's a bunch of sites that are available to you as well if you want to learn more. So this, on July 15th, this is when I'm going to actually cover the use of filters to decrease that data set. Fancy things you can do with the widget. And then this thing right here, this green block, is the most important. So JLV allows you to select any number of records up to 100 that you can actually create a single report out of, meaning, you could select several notes and you could crush them down to a single PDF, which retains the PDF search function. So using the search function within a PDF, you can actually build a report of multiple documents. Huge. So this is the stuff that's going to be the important thing to cover the next time. So come back and join us on the 15th. Okay, so it's time for the live demo. All right, so I am going to fire up my JLV here and give you guys a live demo. Any questions while I'm getting this set up? Questions in the question box, guys?
Let me see. I think we might have one pending. VA stores primary samples. Do we get whether the VA particular patient samples are stored, like MVP?
Okay, wait, I'm not clear on that one now. MVP,
Let me repeat it again,
Okay,
and if we
sure.
don't get it, they can write in for clarification. It says VA stores primary samples. Do we get whether the particular patient samples are stored, like MVP? They might be asking, do we get where the particular patient samples are stored?
Are we talking about samples like lab samples or tissue samples?
I'm not sure. We'll ask them to write in for further clarification.
All right.
I do have one other question if you'd like to take it now.
Sure, sure, sure.
Are there any resources that explain which more are there any resources that explain which more about data sources are ingested into JLV? I recognize JLV is for one patient at a time and will need to use CDW slash other DBs to do aggregations across patients. I'm hoping to get a better sense of which sources, for example, where does the DAD data come from, are ingested so we can recreate the queries in a database.
Okay, let me just explain something. So I'm going to go off script a little bit here. Can you guys see this common dual screen setup? So this is
yes.
actually what I do for training our providers. So this may actually help explain it a little bit. So all JLV is doing is placing a request for the date range and your patient name and any associated documents or any what we call artifacts. And JLV will compile all of these and just display those for your specific date range. So when you're looking in the local CPRS Vista or Capri, you're really looking at what's in their local Vista system, okay? JLV, though, is looking at every VA system the patient's ever been to within your date range, every DOD site, every new Cerner site, as well as some of the stuff going on with the community partners. And they're providing like 3 years worth of summary data. So it's not discrete data elements. This is gonna be just summary data in the narrative form. And that's why I was saying that report builder function is so important, because you can take these documents and a lot of them will have information that's not pertinent, but all you need to do is search through these documents that have been compressed into a single PDF using the PDF search function. So I hope that answers the question, but JLV doesn't do anything other than just view what's already there. It's just a viewer. Okay.
Thank you. That is the final pending question at this time, so feel free to continue on.
And here are all the different data types. So within the federal world, right, we have data from all of our electronic health records, and they're all specifically designated as data types. And these are the different types that we can get. And as mentioned, you know, you can actually click here to view the descriptions of each widget and what's in it. I think the better way is to just open it up and take a look at it with a patient that you're familiar with. And that's the best way to explain it. I think it's very hard conceptually for most people. You just have to click on it and take a look at it. You cannot break anything by using JLV. Okay, so, you know, the basic layout is here. We had talked about, you know, you click here, you'll get the advanced directive notes. So if I click there, these are the notes that have been encoded to be advanced directive notes. So if you see them, these are real. If you don't see them, it doesn't mean that they don't exist. It just means that it may not have been encoded properly. And that's when you'd use a documents and images widget to go and find those, right? So I could actually go into documents and images, get a date range, I expand it, and I type in the word directive here, and it's gonna look for those titles that have directive in it, either the title or as part of the metadata. Okay, so there are no documents within this date range that have anything like directive in the title. And I can double check on that. I'll get rid of this by clicking the X. You see how slow it is, because we have thousands to deal with, say we're 3,000. If I go here and look at the titles, these are all the titles that are in there. I can scroll through it and look at it. So I don't see anything in here that says advanced directive or POLST or, you know, DNR or whatever. It's not in here. Okay, I am hoping that that was helpful for you. Person asking a question. Sorry, I need to move my little window right here. All right. Okay, so let's just kind of go through this real quick here. So I'll do a patient search so you can actually see what the patient search windows look like. Okay, so here I was on Cheddar 3. So this patient was the one that I was on just now. And if I'm looking for a new patient, again, easiest way here is to enter the 10-digit number. Okay, and I will get Cheddar 1. Okay, so I'm loading this patient's record up right now, and there's a little bit of a delay. So generally, you know, you'll be able to get this number, as I mentioned, from your CPRS patient inquiry window, and I can show you that because we redisplay the exact same thing. Okay, gotta click on that. Okay, now, when the patient's been to multiple sites, you just have to click on the hyperlink to the patient's name, and you will see all the details from all of the sites that the patient has been to. So wherever your local site is, that's the one that's going to display first, and the rest will show up in alphabetical order. All right, so when I scroll down here, see, look, this looks familiar to most people. When you are in CPRS and you click on the patient's name, sorry about that, you're going to see this, right? This is the patient inquiry form here. So their social security number is here. The 10-digit DOD number is here. Right? I just double-clicked on it to highlight it. So if you were in CPRS and it wasn't syncing up, CPRS should synchronize with JLV. So they both look at what's called the patient vault. When you go into CPRS, you access the patient record, but the computer kind of knows where you're at. And so JLV sniffs that out and it'll actually open up the exact same patient record. If for some reason it's not working, you can always go here and you can right click copy. And then you could go back to the patient selection window in patient search. And you could drop that 10-digit number in there and you'll be okay. So I'm getting some latency and I don't know why it's doing this. It's not a good thing. Okay, we'll just wait and give it a second. Okay. All right. Okay, so any questions so far? I'm gonna talk a little bit about how we can filter. If you guys are okay with it.
Yep, nothing pending at this time. Thank you.
Okay. So you'll notice that I have a whole bunch of tabs here. I can share these if there is interest. I'll show you guys what my tabs do, but this is my actual tab set that I use. It's busy, but it serves my purposes. Okay, so I just wanted to show you things that I was talking about during the presentation, which is having the same date range across several widgets or different date ranges, but having multiple instances of the same widget. I'll show you why this is useful. So we'll wait till it loads. You'll see that these are all loading right now for the specified date range of just 1 year. This one's loaded, they're all done. So this is the exact same data set for all three widgets. You guys see that? There's 3 years in the upper left, 3 years in the middle, excuse me, 1 year, sorry, and 1 year here. So these are all just 1 year date ranges, but the numbers are different, right? This one's 538, this one's 14, and this one is 6, because I have 4 filters that I've applied. See that? So I'll go to the expanded view. I'll just kind of demonstrate how this thing works. So I have 4 strings of text, and I have locked these. So any patient I go into, right, this middle widget that I have is going to look specifically for the words or the text string of primary, PAC, PC, or ambulatory somewhere in the metadata, the data about the data. Site doesn't matter. Okay, I'm looking for all of these things that may be here, and it's a literal search. So I may have something that's not primary care, but just has PC in it, like this right here. Right, this is a functional assessment. This has nothing to do with primary care. Right, but the reason I use PC is that some notes that are primary care may be listed as PC. Some will have the word primary in it, some will have ambulatory. So there's only 14 notes in here. And again, test patient, so you know, a little different. But I am pulling records across all the facilities that are reporting back to JLV. Okay, so that helps me a lot. And next time, I will show you how to take all of these and put them into a single document that you can text search so that you don't have to read in every single one by one and open them up. Okay, And then if I'm not sure whether I got all of the primary care notes, I can go back to I call this my index. So this would be the widget that has the date range that contains all of the data. So I'll expand it. And this shows me all of the titles that are present in that list. And as I go through it, right, I can actually click on the ones I might be interested in, and automatically that thing's going to filter out all the 537 of them and just show me that one title. And as I go down, I can pick more than one. So this is another way you can actually filter out your list, is just kind of go through your list here and pick the note titles that you're interested in, and they'll show up here. Again, I would not open these up individually. I would basically build a report out of them. So please do the training and it'll show you how to do some of that. Okay, so I have filters applied via my cone. So this was my index widget. So I want to make sure that I remove the filters and get back to my 538. Okay, so building new workspaces, right? You have to do what makes sense for you. So you just click on the new tab plus here, and you can give it a name, whatever you want. And you will end up with a blank workspace. Okay, and you notice that this widget tray just popped up automatically. So it does that whenever you set up a new workspace. And all you need to do is left click and drag and drop. So you can drop them in one of three columns. And it's just the way that it's designed. There's nothing special about it. You can change the size of your widgets if you want. You can stretch them in height. You could actually make them stretch across more than one column. If you want to make it go to two columns, you can do that as well. But as I said, I don't think it really matters much. It's your personal preference. For me, it's just so much easier to just keep the widget as small as possible, and just put maybe six widgets on an individual workspace. It just allows me to get through the information a lot more efficiently. So I'll show you an example. Okay, so here is my actual imaging tab set. So I am actually getting imaging reports. So that makes sense, right? From my widget tray, I've brought up the radiology reports. Oopsie, sorry. I clicked twice. Again, what you don't want to do is button mash. If you just click like crazy on JLV, it's going to register your clicks. It's going to try to give you what you asked for. So it might slow it down. But here's where I pulled these up, right? So I had my empty workspace and I brought up the radiology reports widget here, which makes sense. Okay, I have an imaging study I'm interested in. I'll put it into the radiology reports widget. That'll give me the reports from the radiologist plus hyperlinks to some of the images themselves. Okay, but I have other things that are on here, and this is because, I'm doing primary care. If I have an abnormal chest X-ray, and if I wanted to get a CT of the chest, there are other things that my CPRS will ask me for if I put in a consult for a CT. And that would be, does the patient have any allergies? What's the most recent lab results? I can see what appointments they have coming up in case someone's already done this for me. I can see if there aren't any meds that would be not good to have. I can see their problem list to see if there's a problem that's already, I'm hunting down a problem that's already been discovered. So there's a lot of ways to use this. And when you're doing your research, you'll find that you can do a lot of these things and create places that will take care and sort of semi-automate the work that you're doing. Okay, I'm going to stop for questions here. We have a few more minutes, and I just want to make sure that I got everybody covered. Does anyone have any other questions, or do they need me to clarify anything?
Thank you. We do have a couple questions that came in, so we'll go ahead and get right to them.
Awesome.
Never mind. One of them was a request for a different cyber seminar. We'll get to that one in
Oh
the
man, okay.
back end. They're loving this one, but they have more requests.
All right, cool.
Okay, let's get to this one. To clarify, JLV will only display 3 years of data from community partners. So if we have a patient we need to review who is a case from 2017, we would not see their medical records from a community member where they received the care.
Right, so here's a community health summaries and documents widget. Now, we get these reports from the community, and this is determined, it's a sort of a national standard, and it's determined by the Office of the National Coordinator. And the reason it only goes 3 years is you can imagine, right? We have hundreds of partners. We have a lot of people using stuff like JLV or the Joint Health Information Exchange. So we get these documents from everyone. So they've limited it to 3 years. Now this whole design, all of it, they call it the style sheet, you know, this persistent table of contents, all of this, that's not JLV. This is all determined by the ONC and by the health information exchanges. So we don't determine any of this stuff. You know, we just benefit from the fact that we can actually copy them if we need it, but we don't. And you'll see that there's very few, like this is pretty typical. You know, you'll see a lot of things there. There's very little information here. And the bar to share is set so low in the community that we get a lot of these documents. And that's why I say, it really doesn't make sense to open these up individually. You really want to use that report builder, which I'm going to cover in a couple weeks. And that's the only way that I use this. Otherwise, it just takes too much time. You know, we've timed it. It takes 20 to 30 seconds to open one and review one. And if you have these many, you just don't have that many seconds. So building the report, getting it done, and just doing text searches, much easier. Not a big deal when you have a short list like this, but typically, here in Hawaii, we have a lot of partners that share, so I'll get 100, 150 of these. And there's no way I'm going to open 150, right? So I'll just send them all to the report builder and I sort it out later. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you. We do have another question that came in.
All right.
And that is, can you customize a widget for a study, like study 308, poll last labs, medications, apnea issues, MRI data?
Yeah, for sure. So if you have that, so I could actually go in here. So we want labs. I can just open up this widget tray. I can pull in lab results, right? I'll have MRI data in my radiology reports. Right? All of this stuff. So whatever you needed, you know, you could actually just bring these up here and I'll create that tab and we'll just rename it then, whatever it is. So this would be, new study. And I could drag anything I want up here. I could actually change the date ranges. If I'm only looking at the last 5 years, I can just take this show date, tab date and text filter tool, and I can apply 5 years to all of them. Right? If I wanted to do 10 years, I could do 10. If I wanted to do even more, like I could go way, way back in time if I wanted. So we have electronic records. I think they go back, at least at my site, they go back to about 1995, 1996. So I could go back to that day and I could make the end date today, right? And then I could apply it to this and see what happens here. So this is gonna tell me, you wanna apply this date filter to all of these? So from 96 to 2024, I can do that. Now, once I've done this, okay, this particular new study widget will do this with every patient that I come across. Okay, so it's going to go in there and it's going to pull records from that entire time. And you notice that there are some widgets that don't have a date range, and ones like allergies do not have a date range. We're going to show all allergies for all time. Okay, and that's an important thing. We don't want to miss anything. But these are still going to be cranking for a while because this is going back to 1996 when I first started working at the VA. So, you know, but it'll do it, right? Getting the radiology report. So I'm hoping that this is what the person's asking in their questions. You can set it up any way you want. You just may have to wait a little longer. Right? I go to the expanded view. You'll see the different allergies coming from all of the different sites. If I was just looking for allergies from a specific site, I could just click on it. And it would filter it out so that all I get is the ones from the DoD. Right? I could remove that filter. I could get in here and I could look at the allergen names, which may be variable, right? Depending on, you know, see this? There are three different versions of the very same medication, but it may have come from three different systems. So I can click on it, or, you know, one could be a combo, like this particular one. It's more than just one med. So I could click on these three and it would filter out the list and just give me those. Yeah. So there's
Thank
a lot
so
of flexibility and a lot of customization that you can do. All right, anybody else?
Awesome. Well, we do have one pending question, but I'm going to pass it along to you for follow-up after the session. I want to thank you so much for presenting today. We really appreciate you lending your expertise to the field. I encourage our attendees to please go to the HSR Cyber Seminar Catalog and sign up for the second JLV presentation, which will be taking place at 1 p.m. on Monday, July 15th. So you can go ahead and register for that now. And Dr. Omizo, if you want to put up your contact slide real quick, that would be helpful. Okay. And for our attendees, you will receive a follow-up email a few days from now with a link leading to the archive recording as well as a copy of the slides. And I want to thank everyone for joining us today. When we close out the session, a feedback survey is going to populate on your screen. Please take just a moment to answer those few questions. It helps us improve presentations we've already given, as well as you can suggest ideas for new cyber seminar topics. So once again, thank you, Reese. Thank you to CIDR, and thank you to our attendees for joining us. This does conclude today's HSR Cyber Seminar.
Thanks.
Thank you. Have a great day.
IREC team is the best, you guys. Come back in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Reese.